we care about Braintree or how long it takes for the money to go through the processing system?
No, that wasn't the point. I believe the question that came up was that the transactions. Okay, I'm going to need help from the rest of the board here because I've never participated in Fund Drive because I don't live anywhere near KPFA, and so I don't know how it actually works at individual stations. But my understanding is that when a donation is made, it has a name attached to it. There's a specific amount known with that transaction. You can trace it back to the person who actually gave that donation. In other words, there's kind of a transparency between the donation and the deposit. And my understanding is that the way, and I'm not saying any AI, I'm just trying to understand the mechanics of the system. But I'm just trying to understand whether that as Bertold just put it, that one-to-one relationship exists, and I'm gathering that it doesn't, and that's fine. Yeah. I was just going to ask Bertold, what's the fee structure associated with that service? It should be like 3 to 5% or something like that. Is that about what it is?
Yeah, it's about
10 cents to the stack.
Yeah, it's about 2.7%, not 3%, depending on the credit card. But all those transactions, you can see them forever on e-commerce. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can see the actual person that made the contribution.
Yeah, the person, the time, the minute, you know, okay. You know, everything. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks,
James.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah. Thank you. You had asked the question, and you mentioned this question at the last Open's PNB meeting, which you just repeated a moment ago. Which was that you had, I think you were citing Tamara Swiderski for this, you had said that she was telling you that we had information on the back end, which would be the bank statements showing the payments out to individual vendors and whatnot, but she didn't have the information on the front end, which would be what you just mentioned, which would be the people making donations and also, I think, the bills when they came in. And I would like Bertold to explain, which I have seen him do several times, more than once, which is each time he gets a group, each time he gets a donation, he enters it into the system. I believe it's Volusion. And then he bundles them. And when he gets a bundle of them every day or two or however it's appropriate, he sends them directly to Netta. And the same with the bills. When the bills come in, he sends them directly to Netta. So I challenged you, I hope I wasn't impolite when I did it, but I challenged the notion that they don't have the information on the front end because I've watched him do it. I know they have the information on the front end. So if you could clarify what the definition is of the front end, and then if Bertold could comment on what he does, then hopefully we could understand what is meant when Tamara says she doesn't have the information on the front end.
Okay. Well, this was, I have to defend myself a little bit here in that this was basically a 15-second snippet from a conversation that I had with Tamara. I mentioned Volusion, and this was my understanding that, okay, and I will go back and confirm this with her, but what she said, what I understood her to say was that that she could see the deposits being made, but that she couldn't see the actual transactions from which the deposit, in other words, the bundled deposit being made into the account, but she couldn't see the individual transactions, and that was my understanding from that conversation, but
yeah.
I may have got it wrong because say
no,
it was,
I think you both are right. Let me clarify that very clearly. It's like you're a miscommunication.
Okay.
She just asked me. So what happened is this: if the money comes into the bank, I mean to Volusion, you know, like she's not going to see it unless she goes into Volusion to see it. She wants to see it in Volusion. She can see it, but it's like pointless to her. I can give her the Braintree statements, and then she can match those Braintree statements to the deposit that goes into the bank. So that's what we have done with auditors. So that's one thing. That's easy. when people are really going to send a check and then they pledge, when they pledge, it's recorded as a receivable in Volusion. So when they send a check, we have to make a copy of the whole documentation and enter it, post it, and then make a deposit in the bank, and then scan all of that, and scan the whole documentation and send the payments to Tamara, as she can see the deposit made on that day in the bank. Concerning the bills, you know, we're on a cash basis at BAI, you know, I mean, obviously you know that. So the bill comes in and we pay them as they come in. You know, we know what the bills are, the, you know, the phone bills, the four Times Square, the rent, you know, basic things like that, you know, of central service when we can. So these are the basic bills. They come to about $120,000 a month. And there might be a few little bills here, staples, you know, and stuff like that, premiums, you know, consultants. But all of these are like basically predictable up to probably like 5 to 10% of the bills. So the bills comes in, they are scanned and they load it into my QuickBook, and then they also scan and FTP it into NETA, you know, like twice a week or three times a week. So she wants to see the bill actually really on the front end. In other words, you know, expecting to have a bill and then paying it. No, the bill comes in. I mean, sometimes we pay it, sometimes we don't pay it. It depends on, you know, she might get a stack of bills, 50% of it is paid and 50% has not been paid yet. And then, but she has access to my QuickBook account, and then I've given the national office and NEDA access to the Chase account. They have not taken advantage of that. Sam Agarwal and all the auditor, all the accountants have access to my bank account. She can have access to that anytime she wants. And then if she wants the Braintree statements monthly that shows all the deposits that went into the bank, that's probably what she needs to have. Or she can just have the login and password and go and look at it herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there are there any more questions for Bertold at this point?
I sent the P&L to Arpold. My computer here at home could not download it in Excel spreadsheet, so I downloaded it in the PDF. But I can send it tomorrow. The same one is has an Excel spreadsheet to you. And by the way, all the bills and all the payments have their documentation uploaded with them in QuickBook. So technically speaking, it would take me like 2 minutes to basically go in a bill, download it, and then email it to anyone who's asking.
Okay.
Nancy, I have a question.
Nancy,
I have a question for Bertold. Yes, Bertold.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Bertold.
Hi.
Do you have any – hi, how are you?
Any what?
Do you have any board operators who are consultants?
Yes, we have – okay, so this is what happened. We have four board apps only. We have someone that goes from 6 a.m. to noon, someone from noon to 7, and someone from 7 to midnight. And from midnight to 6 a.m. to 5, 6 a.m., they do their own board or and so forth and so on. And on weekend, we have one board app that does like from 6 a.m. to – he does like 12 hours to 4 p.m. And then from 4 p.m. to midnight, we have one person who's a consultant that does the board $15 an hour. Now, anytime anyone calls in sick, takes personal days or vacation, we have to scramble, you know, to cover them because obviously the other guys are already working full time. We don't really have that much backup, you know. So we have about three or four people that are, we call them consultant on board app. So they cover the board when somebody calls in sick or somebody is on vacation, you know, and they are actually 1, 2, 3, 4
and
people.
And how much do you spend on that per year?
I'm not sure. It's
past
like,
year.
If you take
this
the vacations, I'm sorry. If you take the vacations of my board apps, you know, it's four of them that have, you know. Three of them full-time, one part-time, one weekend. They have like about 3 to 4 weeks vacation each. And so when they take those vacations, those people have to cover for them. And then on Saturdays from 4 to midnight, I have one person who's working as a consultant to cover that shift. So that is it. And it's $15 an hour.
Lyndon for the staff.
Okay, thank you.
That doesn't answer the question, I don't believe.
What is the question?
The question was how much? Is there a line on is there a line item on what you sent to R. Paul that would show that, or is there a line item?
Oh yeah, there will be a line item. Hold on.
I will point out that I've forwarded the message from the general manager to the NFC mailing list already.
Okay, thank you.
Golden.
Well, this is Sharon. R. Paul, I don't see it. Did you? I don't see it yet. Do other people see it?
I don't see it, but mine's usually a little slow.
I don't have it either. Yet.
This is Paul forwarded? No, I don't see it yet either, R. Paul.
Going up to the website and taking a look and see what's up there. On website. Isn't hitting the website either. I sent it at 9:35, so it hasn't hit the website. 1 second. I'm refreshing. Okay, it's not hitting the website, and I am not getting the website. I'm not getting the email either. Oh, no.
Well, maybe you can just email it to us directly. Because I can't get attachments off the website anyway.
Okay, maybe we can do that. Give me 1 second. Okay, I will send it again to each individual. So 1 second, please.
Programming. Okay, so the board app was $14,921.50. Hello?
For all four of them?
No, that is for the consultant. The four of them are full-time. That's a salary. That's $17,000, $18,000 bi-monthly. But for the board app, the consultant, the one that do the coverage, is $14,921.50.
Yeah, that number makes pretty good sense. The number I got rough calculating it was $16,000, so that's very, very close.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it varies, you know, like it's like $550 in April, and then in September it's $1,500. 2019, so closer to the holidays or something like that. 2,000 in May, 2,600 in May. So it goes up and down, depending on, you know, who's taking a vacation.
I just got it, Arpo.
Yep.
December was 3,000, well, of course. Yeah, but that is on our P&L is classified on the board app on the programming.
Thanks, R. Paul. I got it. Yeah, this will be really helpful.
Yeah.
It'll help
By the way, this is all bank rec. So if you want to have 1 month of bank rec to check against any month you want, I can send that to you also in a few minutes. And by bank rec, I also mean PayPal, because we also do the PayPal bank rec, all that goes in here. And so we do the bank rec for these.
Hey, Bertold, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I hope you won't feel that I'm putting you on the spot here, but the cost structure of BAI is, of course, pretty onerous, and it's hard for the station to generate gains based on that cost structure. And I know that the station was, you know, just basically shredded back in the 15 years ago or whatever it was. I wasn't around back then, but, and you know, there's not a lot of room left to cut anything. And I'm just wondering what, if any solutions you have to like bringing the numbers into balance with one another, the stations, you know, it's not bleeding massively according to your books, but it's still bleeding a little bit. And I'm just wondering what, if anything.
$25,000 to $30,000 a month. And that is with including our BI Buddy, which is our sustained membership, which brings about $15,000 a month. That's 1,000 people. That's $15. But after the coup, that went down a little bit. That went down to $6,000. But I think we're building that. So that's one of our goals, to double that. And then it's grants, you know, and that's why I've been probably the general manager has been pushing CTB for the audit the most, because there's no cut. I mean, you can't cut. I mean, I do premiums. I do fund drives. I'm the operations director now. So there's not much to cut. So we have to invest. And that's why this past year was a little rough. And that's why we were $35,000 short in payroll this past fiscal year, because we invested in paying a morning show host and then Leonard Lope. And then Leonard Lope, you know, like that plan seems to be working out. You know, he has the second highest number of BI Buddy sustained donors after Amy Goodman, after only being around for a year and a half. In the morning, we had about 250 listeners that went up to like 2,000 and change. And so we're monitoring that. So we believe that the morning show should be generating $2,000 to $3,000 of fund drive revenue per day, and that's not happening. So these are the two things that needs to be built up. And grants, you know, CPB grants. We had city council members giving us discretionary funds. We had about, I don't know, $30,000 or $40,000 of donations from the city council that we could not cash because of no audit. We were hoping to build on that on and so basically it's investing in grants. You know, we have I have a development director, but it's not really performing as a development director after we had to get rid of 19 people. So she's basically helping me with the premiums. She manages the whole website, you know, the securities, the graphics, and she communicates directly with the webmaster. So it's really an economy of scale. So we just need to bring revenue, you know, to bring revenue. We have been depending a lot on bequests, and then we've had bequests every year for the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. But we need grants. We need to apply for grants. We need grants. We need $25,000 a month of grants, which is like about $250,000. Our budget is short, like our P&L is short by about $280,000 a year. And that $280,000 is why Pacifica National Office bleeds and is upset about WBI, because, you know, all of the other things are operating costs, and so the last person we pay is Pacifica National Office as much as we can. So when we get a bequest or a grant, a big chunk of money, we'll pay them for 2-3 months. But, you know, we make enough money to be operational to almost break even every month, minus central service. So we need
to answer the question.
We need to have grants. and you know, major voters.
James, do you mind if I step in front of you? I had one question about
I'm going to ask you not to do that, Chris, because I have the question is directly related to what he's saying right now, if
okay.
I may. Thank you so
okay,
much. I appreciate
ahead.
That. Berthold, I want to ask you to relate the CPB money that's been lost to the arrearages you just mentioned with CPB money. What is the effect of not having the CPB money, which is a result of the entire network failing to do its audits and other things,
objection.
But mostly not
there
having
is
the audits?
Order. This is irrelevant to the discussion. That is in the past. Let's just talk about the finances now.
So going into let me make both of you happy on the answer. Going forward, if we were to get the CPB money we used to get, which was about $32,000 on an average, the last time we got it.
Point of order.
What's your point of order?
Hold on, Berthold. May I ask why her objection was just ignored?
Well, let's see. I didn't actually acknowledge her objection, but I should have sustained it, I suppose. So that was my fault. We should probably. I think the CPB funding affects all stations, and
all
I think
stations.
It's a problem. It's a problem for the network. So.
Yeah.
I had a question about grants, though. You guys picked up a $180,000 grant in fiscal year 2018. Where did that come from, Berthold?
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I would like to say that I disagree with the point of order. I think what he was talking about was quite relevant to what's going on. We talk
Indeed.
About the past all the time on this committee. He wants to say what's causing some of the problem. I think it's relevant to talk about what's caused the problem people complain about so much. So, really, I think he should be allowed to explain that.
Okay.
As Chris said, the CPB money affects all the stations, so it's really not any particular effect on WBAI any greater than any other station. Therefore, we should just talk. So now that we have Berthold here, I actually want
so
to about WBAI.
Was a big question.
I don't think the CPB money is relevant to that question because it goes to the whole network, and there's so many factors involved in that. It's beyond the purview of the NFC as to why. It goes into the audits not being done. It goes into the lack of having, cabs at KPFK and other stations. It goes to the lack of listenership. There's so many factors that go into the CPB money that it is really not it's just not a good use of the NFC time to discuss that kind of thing. We should stick with the numbers.
I disagree. I think the general manager should be allowed to say what's happened because maybe some stations are more adversely affected than others by CPB going away.
And why would that be?
James for the stack.
So can I just
let him talk about it and we'll hear it.
The $180,000.
Give me another excuse.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Stop.
Okay. Yeah, please. Let me Berthold answer the question. He had an answer there. Go ahead.
The $180,000 was a bequest from the Bolton family. We received $5,000 in January 2018. That was from the Edna Walden Charitable Trust. And then this has been typical of what has happened. Most grants used to be a lot more than that. And then they dwindle down to $5,000, $10,000.
Okay, it looks like it might be miscategorized
absolutely.
On the 2018 report. Okay,
yeah, it was.
That was major donor in from then. Or
that
bequest.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no category for that. I see what happened. Okay,
uh-huh.
Got it. Thank you, Berthold. Thank you,
James, for the stack.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just want to say that I don't think we need to go into the reasons that CPB money is not available, but I don't see any difficulty in Berthold explaining that the lack of CPB money is what is putting us in the red, especially with the central services.
Okay.
In other words, we're operating basically in the black. We're almost breaking even operationally, but it's the central services where we have difficulty, and we used to pay that with the CPB money.
I understand that.
And I'll expound on that. That's a question for Berthold.
Okay.
Well, it used to be about $32,000 a month. So that money, CPB money, if you guys don't know, CPB money went directly to the national office for all the stations, and the national office would send it back to the stations. For FBI, I used to tell LeVon to just keep it and apply it. It used to come twice a year, to just apply it to central service. And then, so that's basically it. But, you know, I mean, bottom line is that we need to make $30,000 more a month in grants, and we do events now and all that stuff, social media, and then, you know, I mean, basically it, grants and stuff like that. We have to do that. Major donors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Are there any more questions for Berthold?
Yes, I have one more question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, so I heard what you just said about we need to make $30,000 more approximately a month. But if I understood what you were saying correctly, that would bring you up, bring WBAI up to paying its bills, but that still would not include central services. So is that right? Is that what you're saying?
No, that is central service. We are short about $230,000 to $270,000 for the year. If you divide that into 12, it's about $30,000, about $30,000, $28,000 to $30,000 a month. Yeah.
And that used to be CPB.
What masks the numbers for you is that, you know, if you look at the 2018 profit and loss, and then if you're putting for tower rent $65,000 a month for paying the cost of the tower, at one point we're paying $12,000 against that $65,000. So that would show you a deficit of a humongous deficit, you know. So, but once I negotiated so the bill now is about between $15,000 and $17,000 a month. Then everything comes down to about $270,000 a year in deficit.
Go ahead, Lyndon. What's your question?
Are you paying this Gary Knoll guy $31,000 in premiums?
Yes, premiums.
So he is basically selling this stuff on your radio station.
Well, that's just like everything other premium. From the Christian Blasdale premium, not only we pay Christian Blasdale, but once we get, we have to pay for the premium, you know, usually most of them from LA, KPFK, Julia Loggins, and all of those happy guts, all those health premiums that we get from LA, we pay a cost for the premium. Usually it's a 1 to 10. But for Gary Knoll, like for the product, we would pay like maybe 1 to 7.
What do you mean 1 to 7?
Okay, 1 to 10 is like if we, you know, we'll acquire the premium for $10, we offer it for $100. The listeners,
okay,
they're gonna get a $90 tax deduction.
Okay.
For Gary Knoll product, because the product is not a DVD, it's like 1 to 7, and then 1 to 5 depends on the cost of the thing. If we're offering the product for $250 and then we have to pay $50 for it, that's okay.
Okay, I have another question.
Uh-huh.
And if you back out the
tower rent, I mean the, I'm sorry, the interest payments from what we got from NIDA, it showed you had a deficit. If you were to back that out and just add in maybe $80,000, which would probably be your share somewhere, just kind of rough, it would show you had a $500,000 deficit in fiscal year 2019. And I believe 18 was a $943,000 deficit. So,
yeah.
So how does how does a $500,000 approximate deficit from NIDA, how does that jive with your $232,000 deficit?
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I'm not going to comment on NIDA, you know, because I'm not sure like what they're doing. But I can comment on what I do, and I'll explain to you what my numbers are. My numbers are every single bill that comes into a month for WBAI, and that's including the $17,000 a month tower rent. And our bank interest payment is about $500 to $1,000, as you can see in the spreadsheet that I sent you. And then when you add all that up with all the revenue that we have, you know, you see the deficit is whatever I sent you, $200,000+. NIDA, I believe, you know, they double our rent from $5,300 to $10,600. And they also... I have no idea. I think they have accrued a lot of our, how you call that? Oh yeah, the tower bill, $65,000 and up. I think if you send me the spreadsheet, I can take a look at it. But I think they were accruing the tower rent at the Empire State Building, which was between $55,000 a month. So that the loan that Pacific took to pay off the Empire State Building, so they accrued that on our book. So
I already backed that out. I already backed that out.
Which one? The tower rent?
No, I backed out the $70,000 a quarter that had to do with the loan, the interest.
No. You are talking about the interest on that. Interest payment, they accrued,
yes.
Which was one. But besides interest payment, they also added, I believe, the actual rent for the Empire State Building, which was like $65,000 a month. So
I don't believe they added the rent for the Empire State Building in 2019, because there was no rent for the Empire State Building in 2019.
Yeah, just to be clear, I'm looking at the books right now, and they're showing for tower rent, it's showing $104,479, which is, I think, actually less than WBAI paid.
What we have, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway,
it isn't
showing for the current year.
Yeah. Did they give us credit for the there was a $70,000 bequest in, I believe, might have been in January 2019.
Bertold, I think
James
sent me information on this. Yeah,
uh-huh.
James sent me information on this, and I think it was credited to the previous year, actually. So I think it ended up in the 2018 books, but without pulling it up, I can't really tell you that information now, but I don't think it impacted the 2019 book.
Okay. So,
Bill for
the
sec.
So basically, I mean, you have my numbers, so you can compare my numbers and look at them and compare them to what NIDA has and tell me what you think are the differences. And
sure.
I'm pretty sure my numbers are
accurate.
I think
that's your job.
Yeah,
actually, that is not my job. That's the job of NIDA at the national office to do this. And the job of a business manager that I have at NIDA, which is also the treasurer.
We're 5 minutes to time certain. Go ahead, Bill. What's your question?
I'm assuming that was Bill Kozier.
Yeah.
No, that
yeah,
wasn't.
Okay.
Bill now, though. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, so... And this doesn't just apply to WBI, but, you know, none of our stations are getting CPP funding. We haven't gotten it for a number of years. frankly, there's no, I don't know how many of them, when we're going to get it. It's, there's no way we're going to get it through at least a year from now. We're going to have to get current on audits and also meet some other requirements. And so we just all need to figure out how are we going to survive and pay all our bills and not wait for CDB. Yes, we should try to strive to get requalified, but it's not happening anytime soon. And we've got the loan payments coming up and everything else. And central services, I'll just want to stress, it's a real expense that all stations need to pay every month. It's how we can get to audits. The reason we've lost audits is because, frankly, the national office has been understaffed for years because of lack of central services from all the stations. And that's happening again now. We're struggling to figure out how to pay NEDA and our auditor and other services that are funded completely from central services. So whatever, I realize it'd be nice to have CPP funds, but we don't have it, and we have to find ways of coming up the money to pay for all these expenses, or we're going to be dead. Thank you.
Yeah. May I comment on that? Is there any way we can do? I know Lonnie Hicks used to do 2 mailings a year. They used to use our mailing list, and the national office used to generate some money. And then from the time that the $2.3 million loan was taken, I had strongly suggested that we add one day of national day of fundraising for Fund Drive per the network. That is like $100,000 a year. It's been 3.5 years, four or five sets of Fund Drive. We would have raised about $1.8 million already to pay that. And I think the more we wait to do this, I believe Francisco Ridge Archives just raised $70,000 in one day. And then it was not even, they were even rushing to do the preparation. So that's one of my, that's definitely one of the worst solution for now, but to stay alive, I think that's one of the things that we can do. The second thing is, once we can get the audit, even if we don't get CPB money, we can get grants because we stopped applying for grants because they were asking us for the 990 form and all of these things. So that could help all the five stations maybe generate a little more cash. So, and besides that, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you know, that's you know, there's nothing to cut at BAI. You know, the rent is as low as can be for the past 5 years. It hasn't gone up, at least not even one penny. As you can see, we have a lot of consultants that do the work of what could really be a union job where we would be spending a lot more money on. And, you know, we actually are as lean as can be by necessity. So.
Understood.
So Bill is right. We have to generate more cash immediately.
Yeah.
Our fault for that?
Understood. Okay, Arpal, you're going to be our last person. We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Okay. I think part of what we're doing here is, okay, there's politics. There are people, I think, scared of what's happening and, you know, not thinking everything through completely. And some of what's happening, I think, is that NETA may not fully understand how all of Pacifica works. I know that looking at the FY18 bottom line from what the interim CFO sent on that P&L, it showed BAI with a deficit in FY18 of $943,000. I have never seen that number before that showed up. General manager says that's not realistic. And I think maybe it's that and of course, we also have this thing of for a while some people were putting the entire loan on BAI and then saying BAI also owed Empire State Building the entire rent. So it was like, you know, $7 million thrown onto BAI. So I think there are some possible inaccuracies coming out of NETA because they don't understand quite how all of Pacifica works. And I think it gives rise to numbers that get people very excited, like that 943 grand. Really, how would we do that? So I think we need to get NETA to clarify some of these numbers more. And you know, work with the stations and find out how some of this works. Again, there's a $750,000 bequest that came in that the interim CFO mentioned in her narrative, but then when you look, it's not credited to BAI, but there is about an $800,000 revenue in July. So, you know, obviously that's where it got put. So, you know, I think we need to say where some of the money is coming from. And, I mean, you know, that was from New Jersey, and who else is broadcasting in New Jersey? So I think we need to get the numbers better out of NETA, and if we need to have the stations work more closely with NETA, I think we should do that.
Okay. I would like to reserve the final comment for myself. I realize we're a minute over right now, but just to go back to the 2018 books, the distortion that's happening there for BAI has to do, it's definitely related to the ESRT because it's under programming. It's showing $500,000 for programming for that year, which of course is ridiculous. But what's going on here is really, okay. So you're NETA or you're an outside accounting firm, and you have to put this loss somewhere for the ESRT building. You can spread it throughout the entire network, which creates a lot of confusion. You can put it in with P&O. That seems like a reasonable thing to do. Or you can lump it in with BAI. And I realize that it makes BAI look bad. I get that, you know. But what I'm saying is that it's an accounting choice, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have to do with understanding the network. It has to do with the choices that we make of how to account for this stuff. And what I would prefer to do, I mean, if it were my company, you know, and if it were my choice to make, I would call it out as an extraordinary item. I mean, it's not like the ESRT came after us every year. You know, it's something that happened.
Yeah.
We dealt with it, and you know, yeah. Here we are now.
Yeah.
And so if you call it out as an extraordinary item, then you can say, okay, that was $500,000 down the tubes. Oh, well, you know, we'll have to, that has to come from somewhere. And organizationally, we're going to have to deal with that. And let's move on and see how we are operationally, because that's not an operational issue. It's not like we're going to lose that $500,000 every year. It's just going to happen one time. I think we're getting too hung up on details like that. And I understand why BAI is upset about issues like this, because they've been saddled with a number of these burdens and it's made them look bad. But operationally, I think the BAI certainly still has problems, even if we back all this stuff out. And that's what we should be focused on, stuff that we can actually do something about going forward. So, I mean, I'm all for the honesty and transparency and this stuff, right? But I think when we boil it down and look at it, at least, you know, some of the stations are in trouble right now, and we need to figure out how to deal with that going forward rather than reminiscing and commiserating about how the accounting's been done in the past. And, you know, I want to get the stuff to look right too. Okay. Don't get me wrong about that. I really do. But I also want to make sure that we're focused on how we're doing rationally so that we can actually be successful as an organization.
With that said, I'd like to thank you for, first of all, giving me all that time to talk to you.
Sure.
Second, we used to have regular weekly meeting with NETA and then the business managers to go over numbers, and then that stopped. Okay. My recommendation is to start that over, first of all. And second is, I believe NETA owes it to the respect of the business managers to discuss the P&L with them before they discuss it with the board members, because the business managers and me are the one who give them the numbers and help them put it together. So there should be a conversation, you know. And that conversation, no one would be surprised about stuff. You know, you might, at least you'll know where, everybody would know where they're coming from, and then there'll be less confrontation.
Understood.
I did tell Neda, ask Neda a long time ago, to write off the Empire State expenses, and I was waiting for them to do that before I put it in my on my book in 2018. And then I put in September 2018. I did it. I spoke to the people at NEDA, and then they told me they would do it. So, but obviously there's miscommunication. But they probably didn't do that. And now that's basically it. I mean, you know, if you have any questions, ask. I have the spreadsheet here. I have the details. I have everything. You know, all you have to do is send an email, and I'll send it to you in 10 minutes if I'm in front of the computer. So I think communication is the best thing. And I'd like to, again, thank you for, you know, asking me questions for 30 minutes and drilling me. I'm the one guy here at Pacifica who thinks that. I love that you drill me. I hope you can call me every month and drill me on numbers you have questions and issues with. I don't mind. Because I know
okay.
The numbers. I have the documentation behind the numbers and everything. So I think that's what we should do throughout the network, and then there'll be less confrontation.
Okay. Thank you, Bertolt.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. I appreciate the discussion and the dialogue. I kind of wish we were having another meeting in a couple of weeks, but it's a misery that I will just have to endure, I suppose. So I'm going to wish everybody a happy holiday, and thank you very much for a productive year on the NFC, and I look forward to working with you all in the coming year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Did anybody adjourn this thing?
Somebody want to? Yep. All right. Any objections? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, Fred, and everybody else, and take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Chris.
Say, happy holidays.
You're welcome.
Greetings over. I'd like to say they're not just numbers. Those numbers were used to shut down a radio station, so it's, you know, geez, it's not just numbers. Anyway, that's
reconcile your numbers. Reconcile them.
I am absolutely
in favor
of reconcile.
Stop.
Well, I'm not listening.
I'm absolutely.